You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Boom! That's a bad outfit! Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me! My turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure
enough. Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough.
Am I the baddest mofo go down around this town?
Sure enough.
Well, who am I?
Sure enough.
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Hey, guys, we're finally back to doing a normal episode again after all the craziness that was Con on the Cob.
You said normal.
Well, this is about as normal as you get. The only thing different is we're actually live from the Malted Meeple today. We've got Jim and Carrington from the Meeple with us, plus all of our friends. We're actually joined by the entire Geek Watch 1 crew. We have Cameron and Vernon and Bart that does the blogs with us, plus Miss Dawn and Miss Vicky, they're always with us. So we've got a full house. And we actually have a new friend, Nate, that's actually joining us.
Yeah.
So we got a full show for you guys today.
Yeah. Well, we recovered from Con on the Cob.
Mostly.
Speak for yourself.
I'll put it like this. The con, we've left the con, but the con hasn't left us because I still have a little bit of... No, crud going on.
He hasn't left my soul. He's
still in there. It changed Vern forever.
It changed Vern forever.
I'll take on life. Yeah. Good things.
Those good things.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah, so the Geek Watch 1 party was a success.
Maybe, just a little bit.
Yeah, you know.
A few people there.
I think we had about, 150?
Just a few.
Just a few come in. And thank you for all the brownie entries.
Again.
We had, I had brownies that had sriracha. I had brownies that had peanut butter. I had brownies that had basil. I had brownies. I didn't think
we had gourmet brownies with orange zest in them.
Yes, we had.
That was the winner. After all.
That was actually the winner.
That was the winner. That was the winner because I never had a brownie with an orange zest. But
now
I have. I think I can say I've lived a full life now.
So, well, so that's all cooker. It took.
Oh yeah, we even had a hot fudge cake style brownie in a rice cooker.
Yeah, a brownie in a rice cooker. Yeah, wrap your heads around that, people. Yeah, that
now,
happened.
To Geeksters, start working your recipes now, because I believe this is going to be a yearly thing. We can't do it more than once a year.
No, there's no way. No.
Our hearts will not allow us to do this.
No. And actually, there's something cooking possibly for the next party. The Geek Watch 1 party for next year. There's something that's in the works.
You're talking about that new idea that Andy was helping me come up with? Yeah, that's what I heard.
Hey, I'm already working on drinks.
Yeah, Miss Vicky's already working on new drinks, too.
So it's going to be bigger, bolder, louder, and what other bees you want to throw in there is going to be that, too.
Brownier.
The Wu-Tang Clan are begging to come in. We're not letting them.
Wu-Tang.
Yes.
Although we
much love to RZA.
You know what? You want to announce what we got for a couple of weeks?
We
do have a big announcement, guys. On our show, we're recording it on the 15th. So what day is that coming out? Give me half a second.
15th.
See, this is what we get when we get ideas and we're not ready.
It's going to be
the 18th. Be out on the 18th, of
18th of November. We will have special guests on the show with us, 2D6.
Yeah.
They were awesome.
I know them personally.
We will have nerdcore rappers, 2D6. On the show.
If you're not sure about them, we have a couple of videos on our YouTube page of these guys, and they're They're interesting.
You can also you can find their stuff also, guys, on Bandcamp. They have their Bandcamp page has all of their or most of their albums on there. You can actually listen to the songs, and if you like them, give them a little love. Buy an album. Buy a T-shirt.
Seeing them for the first time there, they made the show.
They made Vern drop his pants on the dance floor.
They did. That song is still in my head. I will tell you the first everybody that I've introduced 2D6 to instantly falls in love with them. Julie,
they're so crazy and silly, and kind of awesome. With
you know what the scary thing
too.
Is? I have still never heard them.
What?
I'm always doing something else when they're
missing the
playing.
And stuff.
That's like the best thing.
I'm doing other. I'm working
all you
other.
Do is pull it up, and you would be in there.
But maybe he wears it like a proper Scotsman.
Yeah.
Let's move on past that.
So 2D6. In a couple of weeks.
Keep listening to the Geek Watch 1 feed. We'll let you guys know as it comes up.
So
also for next week, remember Geeksters, next week downtown Akron is the Odd Mall. It's free to get into. Kylan and I will be actually emceeing the costume contest on Saturday.
Yep.
And then Geek Watch 1 will be actually recording interviews and our actual show live from Odd Mall off and on all day on Sunday.
Right.
So just like we did in the spring with the Odd Mall. So you'll probably have a little longer episode than normal, but just know that going into it. Also, they still have spaces for vendors. So if you guys make something nerdy or crafty, if you have comic books and games you want to sell, any of that type of stuff, get a hold of Andy and Crystal at oddmall.info/Ohio. You'll be able to find it.
and Crystal said basically as long as they have space they'll take vendors up to the last minute, so setup is on Friday night.
Yeah, well,
so
they've been known
you
to
have
bring,
basically until Friday, possibly Saturday morning.
They've been known to bring to take people in on Saturday morning. If you last exactly. minute you decide, hey, I want to do this, you could probably still
as
get a spot
as long as you got your stuff ready to set up and everything, you can get in.
Exactly. So that takes care of Mother Way. That's what we've been doing. We've been crazy.
We've been
this
yeah.
month has been nuts. We've had what one? We've been to Mother Creation Studios once this month,
which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, just once. Because we recorded.
We did the first episode issue for this month, and then we had Con and Cobb. We have this one here at the Meeple, and next week we're going to be out at Odd Mall.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. Yeah.
So. But it looks like actually from here to the at least to the end of the year we're going to be doing a lot of that where it's just bouncing all over the place.
It does look like it's going to be that way. It's probably, especially during the holidays, there's going to be a lot of traversing going on.
A lot of getting the schedules together and stuff.
Just sort of like be like Kane and Kung Fu walking to Earth.
No, I don't feel like Kane.
Yeah.
No, I'm not the podcast Kane because I didn't kill somebody to protect my master and I didn't get kicked out of the temple and I'm not looking for my half.
Well, I'm sure Jim and Carrington will kick you out of here. That'll be like getting kicked out of the temple.
No.
It is pretty much our temple.
It's temple to gaming.
Yeah, but
until now I thought you were talking about Deckard Kane.
No.
Not that Kane.
He's just making all kinds of mistakes,
it's okay.
I'm on my second coffee.
Get the Carrington filter turned on.
I'm just going to get edited all out of this.
Well, we're in a good spot now where we can actually bring in Jim and Carrington and with the Malta Meeple and Ravenwood Castle. What's been going on with Ravenwood and the Meeple, guys?
We've had actually a couple of busy weeks here at both locations. Ravenwood, we're in full swing for our murder mystery season. We have one spot left for our Firefly mystery, which I think we talked about last time. And I don't know if we talked about the fact that we have a Star Wars murder mystery coming up on New Year's Eve, but we've got that one up and running and rolling, and that's taking a lot of activity, isn't it, Carrington?
Absolutely, yeah.
And as far as Star Wars goes, at the Meeple, we're gearing up for another all-month-long Star Wars celebration. We did that in May, and we're going to do it again here in November.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got at least two different events during the month, and we're going to have the 501st out here with some of the Stormtroopers and a couple of Sith. Do we have any Mandalorians locked in?
Not confirmed, no.
Okay.
And unconfirmed reports of Mandalorians.
Exactly.
It depends on how much you're paying for the bounty.
Back in May, we had a fully functional R2-D2 here as well, and I'm assuming that we'll get him back at least for one of the events.
Cool.
We are also doing an Extra Life event on November 7th, which is going to be entirely Star Wars themed. There's going to be a 12-hour marathon, and there's two tables in that marathon. One of them is a 12-hour Edge of the Empire role-playing game, and there's six seats for that particular table. I think we've got four of them left at this point.
As of the recording of today's episode, we have four remaining.
And the other table is a Star Wars miniatures game table. And it is going to be 12 hours of X-Wing, Armada, and Imperial Assault. There's four seats for that table.
Ooh. We're actually going to be doing the Star Wars Imperial Assault mini campaign from the new Twin Shadows, which is awesome because it has Boba Fett in it. So I'll be running that as the Imperial player, and I'm really excited to destroy all of the people who signed up for Extra Life with Boba Fett.
Now, Geeksters, you'll remember Extra Life is actually a... it's usually a 24-hour marathon, isn't it, that you sit down with your friends?
Cause they do two things now. They have on November 7th is their game day, and it's mostly a video game-oriented one. It's a 24-hour marathon, exactly. This year, they have added a board game appreciation weekend, which we did back in October. We're doing a 12-hour mini marathon. It's not the official 24 hours, but Carrington would die if we did a full 24. So we're keeping it at 12.
Well, that's part of doing the 24-hour marathon.
Exactly.
You need 48 hours afterwards to recover.
Now, the other thing is, as we're talking here, Sarah is coming around and giving out samples of one of our three November milkshakes. As we did a trio of Star Wars milkshakes in May, we're doing a trio here for November as well. And the three milkshakes are going to be the Emerald Ewok, the Coconut Hut, and what you guys are tasting right now is the Tusken Terror, which is as dark as a Tusken's heart and has a evil Ooh. Kick at the end there.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you guys think about that?
Nice.
I'm not big on spicy, but this one is not that bad because it's there, but it's not so much that you're like breathing fire.
Exactly. And it takes a second to hit you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so what is the spice?
Well, if I told you that, we'd have to kill you.
You have to understand, it was very difficult to get pureed Tusken heart.
Oh, my God.
We found a supplier.
See, what it is if they told you, they'd feed you to the Tuskens.
Exactly.
I mean, they have service from Amazon. Did you guys get Amazon? Oh, so you got
this
service.
Is good.
It's good, isn't it?
Wow. I'm trying to
figure it's the. I don't think it's cayenne. Like, cayenne doesn't kick in like that.
It is cayenne.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
I thought we weren't going to give away the secret.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
it was
certain
fun
things.
We created it. We spent most of Friday creating the three milkshakes, and the one that you're drinking now is a dark milk. It's a dark chocolate base, basically.
Yeah.
And when they put the first one together, I tasted it, and I said, you know, it's good, but it needs a little more evil. And I said that, and surprisingly, no one misunderstood that. Everyone knew what I was saying, and Carrington then came up with the secret ingredient there, which gives it that extra little bit of an evil kick. So.
Yeah, that's good.
So like I said, good ideas sometimes.
I said he has three good ideas a month.
I used all of them in one day.
Yes, he did.
Boom.
It sneaks up on you. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, oh, this is fine. And, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we had a brownie like that later at our party that was like that. Yeah. One of our brownies was like that. Ooh, this is not a bad brownie.
It had the sriracha in it.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Just like any good raider, he sneaks up around.
Mm-hmm. And you.
Oh, yeah.
This is next month, right?
That is
next month's mm-hmm. milkshake flight.
Sneak peek.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a lot of what's going on in the Meeple. Plus, Geeksters, we've not hammered down all the details yet, but we are going to, I believe we are planning on doing Geek Watch 1 monthly from the Meeple. We got to figure out all the details and things. So once we get that completed, we'll put it up on the website and the Facebook page, let everybody know what's going on and what the actual plans are. What, you got this evil look on your face, Vicky?
He's videotaping.
Oh, Vernon's videotaping us, okay. But,
You okay?
I got like a tickle, like, I don't know, that thing did something to my throat, like, I'm like... It's like, it won't stop.
From the inside.
It's good.
Thank you. I feel like...
It's got a kick, doesn't it?
It does. See, yeah, but I don't know, it's like...
You had a tickle to start with, though.
Yeah, I did, and it just made the tickle even worse. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not going to know.
It's the cayenne. It's the rebel cayenne, and you fighting the Empire.
Good Lord.
Okay, Geeks.
I want more of that, though.
Well, we'll be back next month. I know Vicky and I are planning on coming up for that Extra Life Star Wars, so we'll talk to you at the end of this, all the details and stuff on that. But and then you guys said if you get a chance, you may stop in and out or something. We'll figure out what that's going on. Yeah. More information for that is coming.
Can I throw one more thing out there about that? We're also doing a giveaway for the Extra Life event that you don't have to be on site to take part in. And the giveaway is set up where every $5 donation gets you one entry into the giveaway. And the prizes are going to include a two-night stay at Ravenwood Castle, an individual membership at the Meeple, and Carrington is working on getting some swag and goodies from some publishers.
Okay.
So that's something that if you're interested in that, go to the Malted Meeple website, and we actually have our most recent blog post talks about how to enter. You go ahead and make a donation straight to Extra Life. None of that comes to us. It is, you know, every dollar goes straight into Extra Life for the benefit of Akron Children's Hospital, and every $5 gets you an entry into that giveaway.
Awesome.
Cool. And it's all for the kids.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, Geesers, we interviewed the representative from Extra Life back in October, or not in October, back in May at Odd Mall.
Yeah.
So, and they will be at Odd Mall again if you guys want to get any information. Plus, Ravenwood and the Meeple will be at Odd Mall also if you want to get information about those. But speaking of Ravenwood, what's going on at Ravenwood? You said the Star Wars weekend. Was there anything else big coming up?
Well, we've got, over the next couple weekends, we have our Trail of the Living Dead murder mystery, which I think is full. We have a Sherlock Holmes murder mystery, which I think is full. We've got a Firefly mystery, which has one opening left. We have a beer tasting, which features Breckenridge and Thirsty Dog locally here.
Okay.
That has got a couple spots left. And then we move into our Tudor Christmas dinner. Mm-hmm. And after that, it is Star Wars.
Awesome.
We've got a bunch more murder mysteries coming into the next year, but we'll be announcing those over the next couple months here.
Okay, so Geeksters, you can find through our website, find the Meeple, find Ravenwood, if you want more information. So I believe that takes care of all, everything. Let's get into some regular just news. What's going on in the world of geekdom? So Ms. Dawn, we started off with DC TV news, right?
Yes. What do you got? We have a few things. One of them is for the show Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
Which is expected to debut in January on CW. It's been announced that Connor Hawke will be appearing on the show.
Woo! That's going to be sweet. Well, the funny thing is, he's kind of already been on Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the first season, who was Connor's mom? Do you remember Vernon? Her name? She was an old girlfriend of
Sandra.
Ollie.
Sandra?
Yeah, she was actually on the first season of Arrow.
But they're saying the Legends of Tomorrow, that's not the iteration of Connor Hawke they're going with.
But this iteration of Connor Hawke don't mean that the one that they teased to won't maybe happen later on.
Exactly.
That should happen right on Arrow.
Right.
Yeah, that now, was the string
in the comics. In the comics, Connor's mom was a woman that he had met at the ashram.
Yeah, it was like one of those one-time
Yeah, it was like one-time, yeah. So, and you know, with the whole multiverse thing going on, maybe that's what they're going to go with in that universe. I don't know.
Well, this is what they say. He's not the son of neither.
Oh, really?
No, I think they're going to do what they do with Jay Garey. He comes from like another Earth.
Right.
But in that Earth, he is Green Arrow. But he has no connection to Ollie.
Well, I don't know. I can't wait to see this guy.
Yeah, it's going to be sweet.
As long as he doesn't do the character right, and it's from a different Earth, I don't care.
He's like a martial arts expert and everything, so you're getting something different at least.
Yeah.
So that's, was there any other Legends of Tomorrow that's come out? Because it's cool because they're letting out slowly little things at a time.
I'm going to let out one Legends of Tomorrow.
What do you got?
Working on The Flash for next episode. What's the other, what's his name?
Color Frost?
No. Firestorm.
Take it.
Oh, yeah.
this week coming up. Ooh. Cool. Sorry, guys. I'm getting my drinks. We want to thank Sarah for giving her drinks. Being an awesome bartender for us today.
We've got like three so far. She's good.
So, thank you. Okay. So, we're actually going to meet the new half of Firestorm this week, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So actually, you guys would have already, by the time the show comes out, you guys will have already met him. Do we know his name?
I don't know his name offhand. I was just a fan of Ronnie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up on Ronnie.
Well, the thing is, though, for Legends of Tomorrow, if you watch this past week's Arrow, Sarah's back, and so, like, that's not exactly a spoiler. You should have watched it
yeah.
by now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Definitely. Well, as if they haven't already told us
exactly.
every week.
We knew Sarah was going to be on Legends of Tomorrow anyways. Well, they finally brought her back to life, which means the upcoming episode, which I guess will have been last night when we're recording, when
we
post this, should be the Constantine episode, shouldn't it? Or is it the next
Which one? No, Constantine's the week after.
Yeah.
I think like this week episode or something.
I think this week they're going to bring Sarah back. They'll
Sarah's
do whatever.
Just was just brought back.
But no, I mean, they'll bring her back to Star City.
Yeah.
And that's why the Constantine will be coming in to figure out what's going on with this.
Yeah, so she's been brought back to life, so we're set for Legends of Tomorrow now.
Yeah. So everybody's alive, everybody's working.
And yet the Lazarus Pit is now...
Well, and they destroyed the Lazarus Pit, so there's questions as to what goes on there now.
Yeah, but there's always been more than one Lazarus Pit.
True. That's the thing.
But it just looks like all she did was put Bulbath in it.
They put something in it. It made it steam.
The Lazarus Pit is like, just like a hell mouse. It's probably one under Cleveland also.
Yes. Yes. Oh, wait. Hold on. You know what? Maybe it can explain the reason why Cuyahoga caught on fire.
Yeah, that's why. Okay, yeah.
Runoff from the Lazarus Pit?
The Cuyahoga River is the Lazarus Pit. That's what we're going with now.
You know what? It may run through the Hellmouth and back out.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
There is a chance.
Well,
it does kind of run in and out of Lake Erie. I mean...
Well, did you hear what they found in Lake Erie? They found off 15 miles offshore, like, a sunk ship that is like, got toxins and stuff. And they're like, oops.
isn't that
doesn't surprise me.
The Civil War, though.
Yeah.
I just found one from the Civil War.
I just know that there's toxins coming out of it.
They just found one that had been missing.
It was the Argo or something like that. I think is what it was actually
that's
called.
The one that they
it wasn't the Marvel one.
Dang
it. So okay. Other DC TV news. Yes. We have. It's been confirmed that on Gotham...
Oh, I'm excited about this one.
Now that they have the Order of St. Dumas making an appearance with the monk that showed up recently, it's been confirmed Azrael is going to show up.
That's fantastic. He's going to have his flaming sword?
They haven't said exactly.
I love Azrael.
He's showing
Wait,
up.
Is he going to have the cat? Is he
what?
The cat?
No. Other Azrael.
No,
that was Gargamel.
No.
The cat is Azrael.
No.
What are you talking about?
Batman had the kid... It did magic with the cat.
Oh, she's talking. Edrigan? No, not Edrigan was the demon.
Yeah.
Who's that other villain that was in.
He was always with.
Young Justice.
Yeah.
He had the kid with the cat.
I know, yeah.
I thought that was Azrael.
No, the cat was like.
I know who she's talking about now.
I thought that was Azrael.
No,
you're thinking of Bond.
No, you know the one I could think of.
Let's go
Bond
back. Anybody remembers Azrael was actually Jean-Paul Valley. He was back in the early 90s when they actually broke Batman's back. Bane broke Batman's back and he was out. He was done. They brought in a replacement, and that was Jean-Paul Valley. He was basically a secret assassin for this extreme Catholic organization. What was it called again?
Order of Saint Dumas.
Saint Dumas, and he didn't know he was a sleeper agent for this organization. So he had been trained as an assassin when he was a child, and then forgot all about it.
Yep.
Now the thing is, though, they're not confirming that is the Azrael that's showing up because there's been more than one.
Yep. Yeah.
And it may just be more of like the name of a warrior class.
Okay.
More than anything. So it depends how they decide to do it. But it's been confirmed there will be Azrael in some form in Gotham.
Mm-hmm. I just want to see the flaming sword, because every incarnation you see of Azrael, he has a flaming sword. Sure. Okay, so what's next on?
The other thing I have is a show that we mentioned a while ago that kind of seemed to have gone nowhere, but there's been details about it again. It's the show Krypton. That is set for the Sci-Fi Channel, although they don't have an actual, you know, date for it or anything like that. But it's not disappeared entirely. It's still in development. And they've essentially confirmed details that now we know it'll actually be set 200 years before Kal-El was sent off and the planet exploded. So it's a whole big backstory that's going to happen with Krypton for whenever it shows up. It's going through further drafts apparently to get the story down.
We may see it as early as next fall.
Yeah,
possibly. Or maybe 2 or 3 years down the road. You never know.
Personally, I'm looking more forward to this show than I ever have for Supergirl, only because I think that I think that Krypton, like the seeing Krypton 200 years, no, in the past gives this. It makes for a more interesting story. We know Supergirl's story is just a matter of, you know, which way they want to tell it, what they want to change. But we really know very little about early Krypton.
Well, yeah, they can make this whole thing up. I mean, right. Exactly. They can create the mythology.
Yeah, they have a totally open world that, because nothing they do 200 years ago is going to have to actually be used now, right. Because everything they do will have been destroyed when the planet was destroyed.
Well, and the other thing is, specifically, they have not distanced it from the cinematic universe. They have not said this is going to be completely separate and beyond.
Yeah.
Well, so there's a possibility that some of the story they give could...
What I read was they're actually going to try and incorporate that inside the cinematic universe, the movies, not like the other TV shows, but for Man of Steel.
Well, actually, it was David Goyer that put this information out. He was actually doing a press conference for another show that he's doing, Da Vinci's Demons, that I believe they said is in the last season or something.
Yeah.
But
Really?
He did say that... this is in the cinematic universe because they said what it is all the stuff you saw in Man of Steel, they're going to actually be able to go back and show you where all that developed from and how that, and actually get more into seeing that world that you saw for 5 minutes in Man of Steel.
That's right.
So that was actually the plan.
I like that version of Krypton in Man of Steel, actually.
I do too. To me, that was the best one I've seen of Krypton.
Yeah, yeah.
For a movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's all we had on Krypton, right?
Yes, that's all I
have. And the other one is, you guys will have already seen it. We're looking forward to seeing... I'm looking forward a lot to seeing Supergirl, and hopefully in a couple weeks we're also going to have Vernon back on, and we're going to do basically a DC TV roundup of all the different things that have been going on and get a little more into how the seasons have started and what we think about
and
Supergirl.
I found out who the other Firestorm is. That's Jefferson Johnson.
Okay.
I just thought about something. Two Marvel mentions on non-Marvel shows.
Oh, right.
Yeah, there were two Marvel mentions on non-Marvel shows. The first one was on NCIS LA. DeNozzo, who was with the main NCIS unit, goes to the LA branch, which is sort of like a covert team. He walks in and he says, "So this is a secret headquarters for the West Coast Avengers." I'm like, "Hey!" Yeah, so I love West Coast Avengers. So I'm like, "What's up?" You know, but... So there was that.
And then there was Flash.
And then Flash, Professor Stein says, "Excelsior."
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like,
dude, I almost fell out of my chair.
As soon as he said that, I was like, no, this he did
second,
not.
Wasn't that the second week in, or third week in a row we've seen something ripped off from Marvel?
Yeah, you
at
know what?
At some point, somewhere, well, I was like... Yeah.
Hey, not just Marvel, but Stanley has written some DC stuff a little bit.
Well, the thing is, though, so many characters and storylines in both DC and Marvel, when you compare them, there's so many similarities.
Yeah.
Kind of like, they didn't necessarily rip each other off.
No.
They just got the same things going on at the same time. Coincidentally.
Well, Justin Jackson is the second.
But no, that's a lot of... We've seen a lot... Basically, the writers write for both brands. It doesn't matter who they're actually writing for.
It's like the whole, what was that, Man Thing and Swamp Thing. They were literally a month apart. But before they came out, when they were writing them, they were in that same month. So at that time, I was like, do you guys call each other? You literally just had the same exact idea and came out 2 months out of each other.
Well, I was like, did he just say Excelsior?
Well, at least they gave it to the, you know, the older gentleman who was
that's
in the room.
True.
Sort of it wasn't one of the kids going, Excelsior.
If Cisco was saying something, that would have been perfect.
Yeah, Cisco. Yeah.
Cisco can say anything nerd-related and everybody finds it okay.
Yeah.
Cisco's adorable.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll find love, too.
I think
I hope
he
it's
has.
Not with that chick. I really hope it's not with her.
You know what?
That girl?
Hey, that golden glider.
True.
Batman's had multiple,
but Talia was she was the bad girl, and that's saying a lot for Batman.
Hey, wasn't the bad girl. Talia's a baby mama.
Yeah, Talia's a baby mama.
Talia's the baby mama too.
We're like the same. Talia was just off. I mean, look at Damian. Look how he turned out.
Yeah,
look where she came from.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
She had no choice but to be off.
Exactly.
Bruce knew what he was getting into.
Well, wasn't he drugged at one point?
He may have been.
I think he was drugged.
You know what? Bruce let himself get drugged.
For someone like Batman, who was like supposed to be like on the ball at all times, he gets drugged a lot.
He let himself
really gets drugged a lot. Whether it's the movies or the comics, he gets drugged a lot.
You want to know why? Because he's a sucker for a nice lady. That's
but it's not.
Or not so nice.
Well, Scarecrow's not a nice lady.
Exactly. Once he drugs you, you never know. I'm just saying, he just puts his guard down far too often for someone who's supposed to be on the ball like that.
This entire conconversation, I'm just thinking of, like, Adam West's Batman. All of the nonsense.
That Batman got drugged a lot, too.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
And he danced.
Mm-hmm. Go to the animated series, Talia took off his mask while he was drugged and knocked out.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for a guy who uses just an easy mask to like conceal his identity, he gets knocked out a lot too.
Yeah.
How easy is it? Everybody in the world, oh, that's who that is. Oh, huh?
You would think that would happen to Arrow all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he gets knocked out a lot.
Well, no, I mean, just take the itty-bitty mask off. I mean, just paint for a while.
Well, the best one I remember of someone getting knocked out and the mask being taken off was one of the DC animated movies. I forget which one it is that. Luthor switches bodies with someone.
He's the Justice League, and he switches with the Flash.
Yeah, oh, yeah, with the Flash. So he goes to the mirror, takes the mask off, and goes, "That's who you... Who are you?
He says, "Now I can finally figure out the Flash's secret identity.
I have no idea
who this is."
That was great.
And it was funny, because that same guy that voices Wally West voiced Lex Luthor on the Smallville series.
Like, yes.
Yeah, nice. You're playing both characters right now.
Slightly changing the story, we've seen someone completely another way knock themselves out.
Oh, yeah, that's from wrestling. That was hilarious. But
he stood up into a doorway and did a promo unconscious.
Yeah, I've seen a guy actually walk around and talk and cut a promo and not have any idea what's going on because he was out on his feet. That was crazy.
Like that's impressive.
Yes, it was.
Into a doorway.
Does that daily.
That's before the coffee.
Oh, you see him stand up in his head.
Yeah, that's on YouTube. It's funny.
So, about Supergirl.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Careful.
Yeah.
Supergirl. So,
when they said we're going to do Supergirl, my kind of response to this was Supergirl's kind of like Clark Kent's lame cousin that no one really wants to talk about.
I'll come back to that in a minute.
Well, hang on. But I watched they've done a couple of, TV spots and whatnot. Yeah. I'm interested. I'm intrigued. She's fun. She's spunky. It looks good. And I'm not a Supergirl fan at all, but I'm going to watch it.
I was worried after the first trailer, and we talked about this before. Because it basically looked like rom-com, mm-hmm. Ally McBeal can fly.
Yeah.
And the fact that Ally McBeal's in it made it even better.
I totally watched the show where Ally McBeal can fly.
But then, finally, they came out with trailers where she's kicking butt and, she's using abilities. And it's like, okay, it might finally work. It might not be the ABC Family movie it looked like before. Yeah. So
that trailer just was a little off. I was just like, eight-year-old could watch this.
Yeah, I'm willing to give it a shot for some episodes.
And it was just targeted for a young audience. It's
didn't seem right.
I do like, though, from what I've heard, like they're trying to tie it to Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And so, again, another one where they're trying to tie it to the cinematic universe.
True.
The interviews I've heard is actually they took a lot more of the influence out of the Donner universe than they did the new ones.
And it looks like it more to me than the Man of Steel, because Man of Steel was a darker take on Superman.
That's true. They're not doing dark, for sure.
Yeah, definitely not dark.
I like the fact that they're doing a lighter, it's a little bit of a rom-com, 1 second while I catch this plane.
Yeah.
I like that. I think it's going to be good, because a lot of the DC movies are really, really dark and gritty.
Yeah.
After the success of
Even Smallville got that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And, I mean, I liked that Supergirl, but, I mean, this one's certainly going to be different, different network and everything, but hopefully it'll still be good enough that maybe it lasts more than the season.
Yeah.
I think it's got a good... I think they're taking the right approach. I think they're trying to get a little bit more light comedy kind of thing.
We've talked a lot on the show about how you can make Superman work and stuff, and how it's more of a psychological thing. You have to beat him on a mental level, because physically you're not just going to pound
can't
on
beat him.
Or you have to beat him on an emotional level more than psychological.
Or be bad.
You have to. Well, it would be bad.
Have trouble in your back pocket.
The thing
I
just
want to say something. In The Dark Knight Returns, he had help from Green Arrow. That's all I'm going to say. That by itself, he had help.
Cool.
Yeah.
But with Supergirl, you got to think that Supergirl has all the powers of Superman and everything else. Mm-hmm. But you got Superman. Everything he's learned, everything he knows, is from Earth. He didn't know. Yeah, he's tragic. He lost his planet and all that. But it's like someone who was adopted when they were first born.
Mm-hmm.
They don't remember that other family at all. No. I mean, yeah, they're technically from that family, but that has nothing to do with who they are. Supergirl grew up on Krypton. She still remembers all of Krypton, and when she comes to Earth, she actually is an orphan who actually remembered this entire planet and everybody she loved.
She reminds me of Batman.
And it would be like Batman when he lost his family and grew up. Well, that's Supergirl. She lost an entire planet And now she's got to learn how to live in this new planet with all these powers and stuff that she didn't have before, but still dealing with the loss of her planet. Is the major difference between Superman and Supergirl.
Here's the thing. Okay. Now how much younger is Kara to Kal-El?
Actually, technically she's older.
She's older?
Technically.
She's older.
But the problem is some sort of like time warp thing by her coming to Earth.
This is what happened. She was on when he came to Earth, he went straight to Earth.
Right.
She was coming straight to Earth, got stuck on some type of asteroid, and it took her way longer, and she got frozen. Then she got here, and it's like,
cryogenic
I gotta look for my baby cousin. Who are you? You're grown. What is this?
Yeah,
How old are you now?
In the TV show, they're going with the... somehow she got actually stuck into the Phantom Zone for a while.
That's what they're doing. Okay.
And then got kicked out. And now when she came to Earth, she was... She had left Krypton when she was 10-12.
Yeah.
Right.
And when she got to Earth, she was still 10-12, but she had taken like a 25 extra year journey somewhere where she was stuck out of time. So when she comes back, instead of Kyle being a baby, he's in his mid-20s, and she's still 10-12.
All right, so basically we have somebody with abandonment issues, PTSD, and... an identity crisis.
Now let's give Superman's abilities. And let's give her Superman's powers.
What could go wrong? And she has a yellow sun giving her superpowers.
See, now you want to see it.
And it's hard for her to adapt
she has no context. She has no context, right?
Well, when Superman was growing up, or Superboy, whatever you want to call him, he was growing up and he was like, I'm learning this as I grow. Hers is, boom, you got it. It's like Zod in Man's.
Yeah.
Like, wait, my eyes hurt. What is this?
She gets dropped on Earth and hits puberty.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, also, you know who's actually playing her Earth parents, right?
Exactly.
Renee Zellweger?
No. The Danver family, the actors who are playing the Danver family is Dean Cain and Helen Slater.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's her parents.
I see what they did there. That's cute. That's awesome. That was so hilarious. Sorry.
Well, I guess they are also in talks with Laura Vanderhoof about getting her on the show at some point. Just so that you have the nod to all the previous on-screen Supergirls.
Because they do have Superman in everything.
Yeah.
I mean, in every Superman...
There's only been three Supergirls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They always have some type of Superman there, or when he's even a baby.
So... Something like Island.
What happened here?
An idea just caught him. He almost spit his milkshake all over the table.
It's like the way you said it. Just like
a baby.
Just a baby.
Okay, so I think that covers all of the DC. See, this week we're really heavy on the DC TV stuff. DC's doing some. Once again, I in my opinion, they're hitting on all cylinders for the television universe. They got to figure out what's going on with the cinematic, but their TV universe is so far hitting really great.
Question.
So, what do we got next for Marvel TV? We have a little bit. What do you got?
Question: when are we going to see Ray Palmer come back?
Legends of Tomorrow. They're already starting.
You know what?
He
might show up.
I'm thinking the next 2-3 weeks.
I mean, they have to know he's alive at some point.
He's subatomic right now.
Right, but they don't know that.
Well, they've already done it. They've already showed that he's there. Because if you look, her phone is going bananas all the time, and it says flip. I'm thinking he's in the phone manipulating things.
Maybe.
It could be.
And from inside the phone.
Well, think of its size. It's like a virus going on. So something's inside of her phone causing things to go bananas.
Trying to figure out how to get
out. Does that make him a PC troll?
Who else saw the T-Wall and got...
Yes!
Who got nerve gas from that?
I
saw it.
I was like, T-Wall!
They've already got Mr. No, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I had a joke. But no, we're not going there on this show.
Are you going?
Wow, he almost had to bleep himself.
I know.
Watch your mouth.
Okay. Yeah, I almost went after hours with that one.
Oh.
Or after dark. Okay, let's go ahead and move to Marvel TV. Get away from that. So what do we have? You had a couple things short.
There wasn't a lot with Marvel TV, but
actually there is a big one.
Part of it was more with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. There's some theories involved with what happened on the last episode because there was a big reveal with Lash.
Mm-hmm.
And there was also a potentially major, relatively major death. But it's kind of like the reveal of Lash and the theories involved might not result in that death being a real death. Because, okay, you have to have watched this episode by now because it'll be two episodes back by this point. but basically, at the very end of the show, it was revealed that Lash, who had a big part in the episode, was a shapeshifter and shifts back into human form. You don't actually see who it is. You see this in shadow. And there's also May's estranged husband, ex? I don't know what he is technically. They're not together. But there was something going on with him and with Ward controlling what's going to become the new Hydra and all this sort of thing. And it looks like he may be dead. And so all you see are feet and like the lower part of his legs and some blood. And then there's this big explosion. So, of course, if they don't actually show you the person, you never know if they're really dead. One of the theories about who Lash is that it might be this doctor, this Andrew, who was May's estranged ex. That's one of the possible theories. Another one is that it's the woman who's leading the
ACU.
ACU. Yeah.
Well, actually, the theory about it being Andrew might, because you notice they keep saying that every one of the Inhumans that he tests is not worthy of being on the team.
Right.
And you said the big thing in the comic books, Lash, was he was killing all the Inhumans that are not worthy of being an Inhuman.
Yeah. Exactly. And if you think about it, it's quite a Jekyll and Hyde thing to do, to make the doctor the one who's the bad guy, killing off the ones who, you know, took the fish oil.
Yeah.
So there's that. But it could also be, you know, the third option really is that it's a character we haven't actually been introduced to yet.
That's what I was leaning towards.
For the season.
I got two other options. I got two. The guy that's the main tactical officer of the ATCU.
But I think because the Shadow had hair.
So?
But he doesn't have hair.
That doesn't mean anything.
He's a little flawed in
it. Maybe every time he changes back, he's got to shave his head again.
That guy's a jerk, though. I mean, he's a jerk when he's in human form. And when they had Lash actually talking to the last guy he killed, he sounded necessary. And he didn't sound like he was doing it because he was a jerk.
Right,
okay.
Right.
Was,
yeah, the attitude is...
Yeah,
well,
the attitude doesn't match.
I've got to figure it out.
Then number three is that it's Daisy's dad.
Oh,
no,
that's a way to bring him back.
I miss him.
Because he had the rage thing.
Yeah.
What? That would go into my other theory.
It's like my heart goes out to you, dude.
That's my other thing that I'm thinking is that they finally figured out a way to put a version of the Hulk into the TV show. Because if Lash is a rage monster, that's what the Hulk is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Technically, yeah.
That's their version. He's going to be their version. Well, that's what Daisy's dad was. He was straight Jekyll and Hyde.
He was.
But it was a variation on the Hulk story.
Mm-hmm. That character was so fun.
He was.
He'd be like, I love my daughter. I'm going to squeeze the life out of you.
Yes.
There was no, like, I'm just going to be completely relaxed. There was no, like, midpoint.
No.
Fantastic.
But when the crazy came out, it was like all the crazy came out.
You made a fantastic Sith.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we do have, actually, there is more, we almost passed by it. We have more TV news for Marvel.
Yes.
Was Netflix.
Jessica Jones.
True.
The Jessica Jones trailer. We almost passed right by that on this one.
I was
going
to mention it before we got done. It's like, hey, guys.
So, Vernon, you didn't like that trailer at all, did you?
What?
So, you guys should have seen it by now.
I can't even jump with that. It's too epic.
Do they have a date for it yet?
November 20th.
Yeah.
Number 20.
The weekend before Thanksgiving.
Nice.
That's perfect, because Thanksgiving Day, you sit down and you can binge the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, that's please.
For the fourth time.
Like, it's not happening on the 20th?
For the fourth time.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm going to rewatch it with family.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Make family watch.
So, what happened on this trailer? Because there's a lot of stuff that I'm not as familiar with Jessica Jones as a lot of you guys are.
Okay, if you don't know Jessica Jones, she used to be a superhero.
Oh, boy.
A lot of things went wrong.
Too many things went wrong.
And now she's a private investigator trying to deal with essentially the PTSD of what happened, which you're going to get through the course of the show.
And her alcoholism.
Yeah, she's an alcoholic.
And her little flings she had with people.
And many, many flings she's had with people.
Biggest fling becomes, well, no spoilers.
Well, I mean, we all know that Luke Cage is in the show anyway.
Well, that's another thing.
Ultimately, they're a couple.
There you go, Don.
That's another one. Luke Cage is actually in the trailer.
Some
people here didn't even know who Jessica was.
Okay,
so.
Cam.
I have a question.
Yes.
What makes you want to go from superhero to detective?
You have to watch the show.
Yeah.
Okay,
there's a lot.
It's massively messed up stuff that happens to her that makes her not be a superhero, but she still wants to help people.
Exactly.
That's the problem. Like, she still had, she still feels, number one, she needs money.
Yeah.
So that's a big deal.
You don't get paid for having superpowers.
Yeah, in the trailer, she actually says booze costs money. So.
Not really.
So, you know, she doesn't want to be a bad guy. She's not super intelligent to create the Tony Stark type of stuff. So there's that aspect of it too, but she still wants to help people, and that's why she's, she gets
involved.
And
you gotta think
why, if you watch it, no superhero helped her. I'm just gonna say that.
Yeah. That's well, also, you gotta think, most superheroes, a lot of what they do also is detective type stuff. They're trying to figure out who the bad guy is that did this, how you go smash them.
Well, yeah, look
and
at
put
Batman.
Him in prison.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's the world's greatest detective.
So you
yeah.
learn these skills to start with, so all she did was take the superhero part out of it, and she's still doing the same thing.
And I'm pretty sure people here watch the Justice League Unlimited, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, to me, she's kind of like what Green Arrow was to them until he joined the Justice League.
Yeah.
You guys got all the big men to deal with, and you're not helping the little guy.
Yeah,
that's
she
what
yeah.
happened to her. She was a little guy.
Helping people on
they
the street
help
level.
Her there's big people to deal with.
And really, this is the beginnings of what becomes Heroes for Hire.
Exactly.
Which is essentially a bigger detective agency where basically if you need help, call us, pay us, we'll do it.
Yeah, the whole thing, especially with the Netflix series, they're going to be more of a focus on the street level heroes. Mm-hmm. We all know about Captain America and Iron Man. They all handle the global and intergalactic threats. But when you look at Luke Cage, Jessica, Iron Fist, Punisher, all those guys, they're more street level. So they're dealing with
purse snatchers,
the drug dealers, Kingpin.
And they know, all of the Marvel stuff, it's all connected, so they know all this other stuff has happened, but it's the big stuff that they don't have to worry about because it's like, that did not affect my neighborhood, but this other stuff
yes.
did.
Here's my thing, and I'm hoping maybe we can get a cameo. Spider-Man, he is in between both.
That's what I was going to bring up. Isn't Spider-Man like dead center between? He works the global
Spider-Man
issues.
Spider-Man really started street level anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's the thing, there's a nod in the original Spider-Man series. Jessica Jones was actually in there in his high school class. Mm-hmm. But they probably won't mention that in the show.
And one of the early teasers of the Jessica Jones series has her standing in an alleyway, and in the distance, you see Avengers Tower.
Mm-hmm. And there was something else there. There was Avengers Tower, and
there was something else. I can't remember.
Was it the Daily Bugle?
I wouldn't say that, but I don't think it was.
Because, see, now, in the series after Alias,
because
Alias was the Marvel Max series,
right.
Because that was the character became so popular, and they incorporated her into the Marvel, the 616 universe, they gave her Pulse, which was basically like the street level stories at the Bugle, at the Daily Bugle. And so she was working with Ben Urich, which we're not going to see Ben Urich.
We're not going to see him.
But see,
don't make me cry.
But see, at the same time, when the first when the Daredevil series was done, there wasn't the deal with Sony.
Right.
So we might actually
get
to see.
That's true. Now there is the Sony deal. So
even if we don't see Spider-Man, I want to see Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Or
so.
There's got to be at least a reference. Considering what's going on.
Which movie was it? The Tobey Maguire movie or the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movie that had Jessica Jones?
No, that's what I said. No movies.
Oh, yeah, only, but you said there was a reference.
Well, in the comic books, if you look back when Spider-Man
was
getting
in the
bullied,
comics,
where
okay.
Peter Parker was getting bullied, Jessica was in the class.
Okay.
She actually had a crush on Peter Parker.
Okay,
yeah.
And
sense,
they were thinking about maybe they'll do that, but the guy they got to play Spider-Man at her age, it just doesn't
matter. No, not anymore.
No.
What you showed me in that trailer, that was a missed opportunity for him.
I'm with you there. Hey,
I got a crush on her
since Breaking Bad.
That's like the Jessica Jones, Mary Jane.
Jessica Jones,
Mary Jane.
Wait, Jessica Jones, Gwen Stacy.
Yeah,
Jessica
but
Jones.
Then you got
you bring
Marvel.
Black Cat, then you're at
Black
then
Cat.
When you're like,
oh,
I don't know now.
But no, there's no poor Peter anymore.
Yeah, but he didn't have the choice of Power Girl either. He never had that option.
He missed out on that option.
She's out of his league.
There's no way.
Oh, sure, Peter's smart. Poor Peter.
Well, he has terrible. He's bad in relationships.
He's terrible. Yeah, no.
He sucks.
Interpersonal stuff doesn't work so much.
No,
bad
no.
at everything except for being Spider-Man. Never graduates. You know all that stuff.
But he's got money now.
No. He has a lot of money now in the comics.
Why does Peter, I hope he blows if something happens and he becomes poor again, because Peter being rich is like, why?
That, yeah, that's not part of his actual character.
Yeah, there's a reason why Stan Lee wrote him to be broke.
Because he was a broke college kid. Now he's no boy.
Yeah, that's the case. He's going to turn out to be Tony Stark.
Yeah. You know, well, Batman, he and Tony.
Or Batman. Well, Batman didn't have to go to school.
Yeah.
Batman's too smart.
But you got to think that the Marvel Universe has a lot of rich, smart superheroes.
Yeah.
We don't need another one.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We got Reed. We got Tony.
Yeah, you got Reed, Tony. Who else you got?
The rich Daredevil and Jessica Jones and Luke Cage.
Technically, he's a villain, but Dr. Doom is rich and smart.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
He started off as a scientist.
They like rich and smart.
He said Peter was smart.
Now, there's talk about, a possible Moon Knight series, which
I
heard you talking about that. Yeah.
Now, thing is, like, some people equate Moon Knight with Batman, but
they look similar. If that's the case, I'm
like, that's like
they may have got the impetus of the idea from there,
but that's where the similarities end. The guy is nuts.
Yeah.
You know.
That's what
so is Batman.
Here's
the thing. Batman's a little crazy. Moon Knight has issues that he needs to see. It's like
Moon Knight has four separate personalities in him. So, like, when he's Moon Knight, that's one person. And then when he's Jake Lockley, I think that's... So here's the thing. He has four personalities. One personality is a mercenary, and that's how he made his money.
Yep.
The second one is an identity that he created where he was, like, a stockbroker. So he took the money that he made as a mercenary, made it legitimate by investing in the stock market, and so he created that one. That's Stephen Grant. And then the third one is Jake Lockley, and he's a taxi driver, and that's how he finds out about all the stuff on the street. And then there's Moon Knight. The guy literally switches from one personality to another.
Deadpool?
Are they?
No, Deadpool's a little bit more sane than he is.
Are they actual separate personalities in his head, or is it like Batman where he takes on different identities?
No, they're all separate personalities in his head. Like, he talks about each one separately, and his girlfriend's like, which one am I talking to right now?
He goes, no. Personality among friends, though.
Yeah, come on.
I'm like, you know what? At first, I thought it was cool, and I really liked it. And as I'm reading, I'm like, he's actually talking about these guys as separate. That's just kind of sad. But he's rich, and he's got a hot girlfriend. No, I don't feel bad for you. And you got gadgets.
That just solves everything.
That solves everything.
Sounds
like Magic
Owl. Be as crazy as you like.
One more thing that we picked up out of the Jessica Jones trailer. Anybody who hasn't heard about it, we do kind of meet the villain of Jessica Jones, which all you Doctor Who fans should already know this, but David Tennant is actually the villain of the Jessica Jones series, correct?
Right.
Yes.
Kilgrave.
Now, who is Kilgrave?
Yes.
He is the worst villain you've ever met.
He is Professor Xavier. If he's a little bit less power-wise, he has to be around you to actually control you. But picture if Professor X was evil. Not even like Magneto, just evil.
Well, Magneto's never... he's never seen himself as evil, but...
Okay, here's the thing. Phoenix was crazy. This guy just has one of those motives where, like, if give a man a power of...
So he's Luthor. Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
He's worse than Luthor.
He's worse than Luthor.
He's Lex Luthor with mind control.
Give Luthor mind control?
Yeah.
He'd do something similar, I think.
Yeah. But it's always, like, he has absolutely no conscience. He has no qualms about doing anything bad to get whatever he wants.
Yeah, to me, give a guy on the streets that's been in jail that was maybe a rapist and give him powers of control. What is he going to do with those powers? Yeah.
It's not even, a lot of it's not even just what he wants. It's just because he can make you do it.
Mm, yeah. Right.
I want to get
a laugh. He's not going to be, this is not a character to be liked. This is not like a Harley Quinn who's a bad girl, but everyone still likes her.
Yeah. There's nothing.
Or Joker. This is not a character to be liked, period.
Mm-hmm.
So this is actually a good departure for David Tennant.
Absolutely.
Because even the BBC shows, I've heard that he's been in, he's not played an actual villain. Dislikable villain that no one is supposed to like.
Right.
I mean, even like Kingpin in here is going to be like, I don't think I'm going to like this guy.
See, we said the same thing about Zachary Levi when he was coming into Heroes, but they're turning as the show goes along, they're turning him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm disappointed with what they're doing with him.
Heroes Reborn,
I don't like it. It's Kingpin, that's true. Like, Kingpin, like, they're, by the end of it, like, he did some bad things. But thing is, you kind of you can almost sympathize with him.
You saw his history. You knew why. Yeah, he was like right.
No, when he did the whole car door thing, I was with him 100%.
Right. Yeah.
You embarrassed me in front of my girlfriend, and I was on a date. I told you not to come here. You made me look bad in front of all these people. I'm gonna have to take care of you.
Kingpin is what many people would call a stereotypical mobster.
Right.
He has a code of honor. There's certain things that he will not do.
Yeah.
Now he probably won't go and just kill a child on the street.
He won't
sell drugs to these people.
No.
But if you cross him, he'll tie a brick around your neck and toss you in the river.
Yeah. Right.
And not think anything of it and move on.
Right.
And there is a code of honor. If you cross that line, you're not gonna come out of this. If you don't, he's the greatest guy in the world.
The thing about Purple Man, he's broke even Kingpin's code.
Yeah. Kilgrave has no.
Yeah.
Like, that was the thing with him. That's like, why
Kilgrave is just. He's probably the most despicable villain.
He's the one that broke Marvel. When I say broke Marvel, he broke the whole. Oh, we got a villain and a hero. At the end of the day, the hero's gonna win. Did some bad stuff, the bad guy. No, this was like, you know, you scarred somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he would like.
Yeah, he's the reason Jessica left.
Yeah,
stopped being a superhero because of the stuff that he did to her, and he made her do.
Okay,
and that's what'll come out in the show.
And I think they're gonna do that a little different from the comic books.
I hope they are, but it's Netflix. After all, they could go any way they want to.
But the way it looked in trailer,
and they do.
It looked like more things you would think she did. In the comics, it was like,
I
think you guys
would
go there.
Yeah, exactly.
The trailer's like,
well, like you guys said. Jessica Jones was the first Marvel Max series, which was an adult Marvel Comics series. Mm-hmm. And what were they? You said first issue, the big change that they did out of nowhere that they had never done in comics before?
The F-bombs.
Yeah. Language went straight to the R rating.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the first word of the book. Mm-hmm. Open it up.
You know, and I was like, you know, I remember when Alias first came out and I was looking forward to it. And, I'm like, that's a Marvel Max series. Oh, yeah. You know, so I'm reading this and after the first issue, I was like hooked and pulled in, and I was like, I have to wait a month for the next story.
See,
but the story was so well written. It was,
I was young. I didn't really get into it like that because my mom, I was with her at Barnes & Noble's. There's explicit content. Most things, like, you don't see nothing bad in it. Pick up anyway. And it was like, boom, boom, boom. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, this is kind of deep. I don't think I should be reading this. I was like in middle school when I came out.
There's a big old explicit content.
You know,
they were.
Who thinks Marvel's going to have? They're probably going to have like maybe the S word or a little bit of cursing. No.
Yeah, and actually, especially all the early Max stuff was pretty much true to that because there were a couple of War Machine. Those kind of hit on some more social issues. And there's the Punisher one, which Garth Ennis did, which, you know, that was just going to go off the rails anyway. There was one called Fury.
I'm trying to remember Fury. I heard that, but I can't think of it right now in my head.
There were scenes in that, because we're a family-friendly show, I really can't go into. But I was like, oh, Nick, for your advanced age, well done, sir. Yeah, so...
Okay, so sorry, I was making some adjustments here, but
in other words, everything before this point has been edited.
I didn't know that. Man, the mics were muted.
You are wearing
just characters.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So moving on, you said there's some Marvel comic news. They've been doing some.
There
crazy
was some
stuff.
Comic news. They actually they announced multiple new series over the past week when they had, I think it was last weekend at Comic-Con London.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one called International Iron Man, which is Brian Michael Bendis.
Right.
Is involved with that. One called Hyperion, which has to do with the Squadron Supreme. An interesting one called X-Men, Worst X-Man Ever.
That's the one I'm going
to
be picking up.
But who is it?
And it's interestingly this is like written by a guy who's a lead the Say Anything lead singer is the one who's writing it. Max Bemis, he's the one writing it.
Right.
He's actually been writing for Marvel since 2013, but
It introduces a new mutant called Bailey Hoskins, and that's all the information they really give, but they're basically saying the worst X-Men ever, so it'll be kind of interesting. It'll obviously be on the funny side. And the biggest one, really, is that there's going to be a new Punisher series. Writer Becky Cloonan and artist Steve Dillon, she currently writes Southern Cross at Image and co-writes Gotham Academy for DC Comics. Is new to Punisher, but Dillon has actually drawn the character before and since 2000 and has done runs on the Garth Ennis version. So okay. You're getting that artwork back. But that's big news that the Punisher's back. Obviously, the timing is just right since he's coming out in the next season of Daredevil next year.
The only reason they're really putting him out like that is because of the...
So then there's obviously hope that, you know, should the Punisher take off well in Daredevil, that maybe he'll get his own series.
What's the odds of us actually getting a Punisher?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go movie route. They did, like, two.
No.
They had technically three, but...
No, they did three.
They... Yeah. It, I was saying that never took off well in
the movies. They did so many fantastic... Well, they did Fantastic Four, they did Captain America, but those were, like, in the 80s.
Right.
I mean, Captain America goes back to the 70s.
Was that 70s?
Yeah. There was two in the 70s.
There were two in the 70s.
One.
There was two in the 70s, and there was one in the 90s.
Yeah, the motorcycles and the plastic shield, that was the
70s.
Yeah. Yeah. Was it bad as The Thing? Come on, that was a bad look.
Oh, they were probably on equal footing.
Okay. Probably
on equal footing.
What, The Thing had a movie?
No.
The way it looked.
Fantastic Four.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and the end of that early Fantastic Four with that big rubber arm that came out of the limo and waved.
That was awesome. But Human Torch looked great. They
that's where they put the money.
Yeah,
I mean, they always the put only money in Human Torch.
And the only other Marvel thing was they announced an exclusive agreement with Jason Aaron as writer. He currently is involved with Doctor Strange and Star Wars titles and is coming out with a new Mighty Thor in November. So it's an exclusive agreement, which doesn't happen all too often these days with the comic company, so that's kind of a big deal.
Are you going to put Thor in a dress? She's a princess.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys see the meme that Vicky put up?
Her,
yeah.
Her stuff.
Oh, no. Did you see the meme Vicky put up?
Yeah, I saw that.
Following the line of logic?
I've seen that before, yeah.
That Thor is now a Disney princess?
Technically, a god is a deity, is not royalty. Technically,
yeah,
but it's a female. Well,
yeah, she's son of a king or daughter of a king. Odin is the king of the gods.
About Leia,
huh?
Leia is a Disney princess.
But the new Thor is
she's
the princess of
anyway.
Asgard.
Yeah,
but think about it. What'd you say?
I said
Jim said something.
Princess.
Wait a minute, what was it?
I said I think Luke is the Disney princess.
Ouch.
No.
At least in those first
was
couple.
Yeah, Anakin. Yeah.
Princess.
Oh my. Yeah. That boy loved his mama.
I was upset all the crying he was doing after that. I was like, oh my goodness, Darth Vader, I had no idea you cried so much.
You know what? It was almost like Elvis. Like, I picture him like, mama.
Yeah. Okay, before we get too far into Star Wars here, let's go on. We got one more. You said there was a bunch of Wonder Woman stuff in the Wonder Woman movie that came out.
Yeah, they came out with a bunch of details about the upcoming movie. Really, the biggest part of it is the fact that it's going to kind of time skip back and forth between...
Oh, yeah.
Relative present day and World War One. Thankfully, they're not going with World War Two.
She's 200 years old.
Yeah, so they're going with a lot of World War One stuff, and the present day stuff takes place before what happens in Batman Loves Superman.
Okay.
So that's when the present day stuff happened.
No.
But like, I mean, there's a lot of little details.
I like that they're doing World War One with her. Because
why are they going to World War One?
Because we already seen it in Captain America.
Because
they were already comparing when I was reading.
This is mean to say, but World War Two is done. Like, everything has been based on World War Two. Like, Howling Commandos is World War Two. Captain America.
Yeah.
World War II. And if Marvel wanted to do anything like with the original Invaders, all that stuff comes out World War II.
X-Men, what?
First class? Was the most boring war ever. Yeah.
Exactly. We need to jazz it up a little bit.
For 4 years.
Amazon Princess World War
I. There you go.
Yeah. Then DC's like, boom.
And you're like, okay. Actually, what they could have done is they could have made it the
War of 1812.
No, bring it more modern, bring it to the first Gulf War in the early 90s.
No.
Wait.
Whoa.
Because Paradise Island's supposed to be off of Greece somewhere, right?
Yeah.
So you got a fighter pilot who actually was flying to the Middle East and got knocked
Paradise
out.
Paradise Island technically does not have a physical location.
Well, yeah, but in the comic books, he lands on Paradise Island.
He does. Yeah.
Okay, so there has to be somewhere for him to land.
Bermuda Triangle kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah. So you do a story like that. He was flying a bomber in, or something happened. He was the only survivor of this bomber.
But why would you need it in a more?
Well, I'm saying
war?
That because that way the time frame it's actually within a certain time.
Yeah, but
no, you want to create the history of the character.
Yeah,
though. You don't want her in more present day.
Yeah.
That was
I was saying the early 90s, the original Operation Desert Storm.
Yeah, but that's why you want even earlier than that.
Yeah,
well, it depends on how old you want to make her. That's what I'm saying. If you want to make her
her actual age.
She doesn't age.
They go this way.
They're talking about using the actual mythology from the comics.
Okay.
Which means she's hundreds of years old. She's a goddess.
Yep.
So it doesn't really matter for them to give her an age.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, going back to World War One, with which number one has not been shown much in the movies anyway,
yeah.
It's kind of a good base for that. One of the main villains she's supposed to be facing is Ares.
Okay.
So when you're facing off against the God of War, it's kind of like a good setting
you can use
more traditional combat in that area. You're not so worried about the technology and the guns and that kind of stuff.
That's true.
Yep.
What was Ares always fighting the girls for?
Ares was always fighting everybody.
Yeah. But no, she's saying you go back to like Xena. Xena was only fighting Ares.
Well, because he was the most interesting character to put in there.
I liked Xena's version of Ares. I did. Like one time he pops in.
He was all cocky, you know.
He pops in raising the roof. I'm like,
I hope since DC's been going really dark with the movies anyway, it's obviously not going to change when it gets to Wonder Woman. So I really hope they bring in a completely horrific, dark, evil Ares, because I think that's how he really needs to be. And I mean the other main villain is supposed to be Cersei.
I heard something about that, and
Cersei brings forth so many of the mythological creatures that it could create some interesting stories.
I mean, I'm hoping I see what was that.
I just only see Gorgon.
Like the old Titan, what is that? Clash of Titans.
Clash of Titans.
I want to see a little bit of that, a lot of that, but I also want to see the war, and this is going to be a movie where then they mix something like that. They've never done that before.
Yeah, it's interesting the way they're talking about it so far anyway.
They just need to make him a flaming.
Huh?
What?
Make Ares flaming.
What are you talking about?
Flaming Queen. Big! Crazy!
Oh yeah,
glitter.
Okay, go over the top
glitter.
With it. Like,
that doesn't exactly work with Greek mythology.
Yeah, no.
Why not?
To be Greek,
because it's
if they were doing a modern, they'd
be
something like that. Not
modern,
back.
You know,
Greek,
it's gonna be glitter.
So, I think there's only one thing left on our list, and Carrington has been bouncing around, waiting.
So wait, what?
What else you got?
Oh yeah,
did Vicky brought her Pikachu hat for a reason?
Oh.
What did you read?
All it showed was pictures, but Japan is opening up a real life Pokemon gym.
That's awesome.
They're opening a Pokemon gym in Japan.
It's time to become a foreign exchange.
Now, see, this was the news Cameron was hoping to hear about. Cameron's all about the Pokemon.
Oh, I heard they were making Pikachu at Build-A-Bear. I was like, I'll take 3. Here's your money. I'll see you next year.
You can turn them into like Chewbacca.
So, Cameron, have you caught them all?
I've got 651 out of 720.
Dang!
So
he's close. He's up. But now we're moving on. Miss Dawn, can we talk Star Wars?
Sure, go ahead.
Yes, we can talk Star Wars!
And the
okay, anybody, unless you can see
the
we're
on time.
Well, we've got 15 minutes.
I'm ready. Okay, all right.
Okay, unless you've been sleeping under a rock, guys, by the time this comes out, it's been 2 weeks, you better have seen this. I mean, come on. The Star Wars final trailer has dropped. So, Carrington, you're disappointed, weren't you?
Why would I be disappointed? Star Wars.
He's trying to just...
Oh, my
God. Go ahead, Carrington. What do you got?
Oh, my gosh. So, awesome, awesome, awesome trailer. You can see Harrison Ford talk about, you know, he's no longer the, oh man, hokey religions. He's like, it all happened. Like this hardened veteran who's like seen some stuff, man.
That's actually something I want to come back to. There's some interesting things going on with that.
So. No, you're right.
Yeah.
No,
actually, that's kind of cool because you got to think. This is 30 years after Return of the Jedi, but everybody thinks the Jedi and stuff at this point were legends. A lot of people don't even believe they existed.
Yeah, well, you got to think about when it happened then. They're like, well, we heard stories about now.
Yeah.
What are those?
That's what I was talking to Vicky about. It's interesting because at one point, the entire universe knew they were Jedi.
Right.
They had seen them.
They were everywhere.
But that was 50 years before this or more.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to the time after, because you know the Empire did, during the Purge, got rid of everything they could find that was Jedi.
Yep.
I mean, period. And to the point where I bet most of the galaxy probably did not realize that Vader and the Emperor were Sith. Yeah. They'd never even heard of this. They just knew that they were the guys in charge.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get to the time of the original trilogy movies, you get one guy who comes out to say he's a Jedi, but you got to think, in a galaxy of billions of star systems, you get one guy who's supposed to be a Jedi. Half the people either didn't hear the stories, probably, or more than that, or they just put it off as someone's just calling it. They don't know any of the details.
Yeah.
So then you get another 30 years on top of that of nothing, and at this point, most of what people knew of as Jedis, it was fairy tales.
The one thing that you can definitely tell from the trailer is that the Empire's propaganda machine was not stationed on the second Death Star.
Yes.
No.
I mean, they were definitely like, nope, nope, Jedi, no Jedi here. Definitely didn't happen, all that nonsense, nope.
Yeah. That's also in the. I'm reading the Shattered Empire comics right now, mm-hmm. and that's one thing they show big is that the propaganda machine is still flowing at full speed soon after the Death Star. So half the Imperial officers don't believe the Emperor's dead. They don't realize this because the people on top are keeping it flowing, that all the orders are still coming from the Emperor. You never know. You don't know who actually is calling shots. As far as you know, it's still the Emperor calling all the shots. It's an interesting idea.
Do you want to talk some rumor mill stuff?
A little bit, but a couple things with that trailer. I got a couple of spots here that Star Wars already on Monday night shattered every pre-sale ticket record known to man. They said...
Surprise.
I got this from Fortune Magazine's website, so they know a little bit about money and ticket sales and stuff, just a little. But they got... they were reporting that the figure that was sold, so far, when this was written, like 2 days ago, there were over $6.5 million of pre-sale tickets.
Now, is that specifically just for the new movie?
That's just for the Force Awakens.
Is that for the marathon?
No, that's just for the Force Awakens.
One movie.
But they said the figures right now crush all the box office numbers set by the other big ones that hit were The Dark Knight Rises, Hunger Games, Catching Fire, and The Avengers. Each of them averaged right around $1 million of pre-sale tickets. So we're already over six times as much in pre-sale tickets. They're looking at possibly an opening weekend right around $300 million or more for just opening weekend.
Oh, it's disgusting.
This is good.
But you know, it's because it's showing New York first. They're going to watch it. And the moment it comes out any negative, fans are going to be like,
nah. At this point, I don't think they can slow down the Star Wars machine.
There's no way that Abrams has messed this movie up.
No.
There's just no way.
And even if he has, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I know. They're going to kill him.
The thing is, though, look at a lot of the negative that came out about issue one, episode one. Like, there was negative that came out about that as soon as it was released.
And they're still
went and saw it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something that's a little heretical. Ready? So a lot of people did not like the prequels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people did not like them.
I didn't hear that.
Right? Yeah, breaking news. People didn't like the prequels. I'm okay with the prequels existing, and here's why. I would rather have 6 Star Wars movies than just 3. I would rather have more Star Wars in my life than less.
See, I enjoyed the prequels. Okay. But we've been over that multiple times on here.
I didn't necessarily enjoy the films, but I liked
Getting the backstory.
I was going to
say,
Liam Neeson
Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yeah. I want more Qui-Gon.
The fact that Darth Maul came out of that first movie was like the only reason to watch it.
Qui-Gon. I'm like...
Actually, the Qui-Gon brings up... Go ahead, Kylan, finish.
I was like, oh, Qui-Gon, really?
And you can see where Obi-Wan Kenobi came from his teachings of Qui-Gon Jinn. Like,
yeah.
Qui-Gon's like, council? I'm going to do what I want. And, like, you see that later in Obi-Wan, where Obi-Wan's like, you know, it's Sir Alec Guinness. He's like, I'm going to do what I want, you know, because I'm going to go on the station, and I'm going to turn off stuff.
Yeah.
You stay here.
The Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan argument actually brings into this movie, because everybody knows these movies are cyclical. The original trilogy had a lot of stuff that happened that actually, the prequels, they did a lot of the same things in a big circle and a big cycle. The beginning of each trilogy, you had an old sage character who actually gets to the end and dies. And their influence affects the next two films. This happened with Qui-Gon. They actually had brought back Liam Neeson to be in Clones and Sith, but they ended up cutting out the parts he was in. Because there was a part where Yoda's sitting when Anakin is destroying the Tusken Raider camp. In some of the extended scenes and things like that, you hear... in the movie, I think all you hear is someone says, Anakin, no.
Yeah.
That's actually Liam Neeson's voice. Mm-hmm. It's because he's talking... He was getting ready to talk with Yoda. We just didn't have enough time to get that in there.
He's in the Star Wars Clone Wars series.
Yes.
And it's Liam Neeson's voice, because Liam Neeson will... be in anything.
Oh, yeah.
All you have to do is ask him. As we've talked about before.
What it brings up is, at the end of Force Awakens, are we going to get another sage character die that's training people?
Well, I think I already know who that's
going to be. It won't be Qui-Gon. Unless they erase some of the
canon. No. Well, I'm thinking are we going to actually see the death of Luke Skywalker in the
film?
That's what I'm thinking, too.
And we know he's in the next two films, but Sir Alec Guinness was all three of the original.
Yeah, but isn't the rumor that Han Solo dies?
That's the big rumor.
Hang on. The rumor mill. Here's the rumor mill. There's a scene where, and I'm gonna. Is it Rey?
The
character. Okay, he's crying over a something.
Yeah.
And again, this is unsubstantiated, but the rumor is that you can see Chewbacca's bandolier, and it is a furry thing. So the rumor
is possible
that it's Chewbacca who dies.
Yeah. That won't be the first time we've seen Chewbacca.
Actually,
thank you,
I've seen a few versions of talk about that scene where they said. It's not necessarily Chewbacca, because the way it's placed, it could just be someone's hair. And it actually looks like it might be someone wearing a jacket. There's a few characters that wear jackets in the movie. So there's this whole Force Awakens jacket theory about whose jacket it is and who might be wearing it at the time.
It could be her boyfriend for all we know.
Yeah.
I just want to see them go... Like the zoom out in the actual film, and it's just like him holding his own jacket.
I love this thing.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I love this.
You know that J.J. Abrams, there's going to be all kinds of fun things in there for.
Oh yeah. It's going to be great. That's like, I'm waiting to see what Star Trek thing is in there.
I was just about to say.
Aside from Lens Flare,
he already got R2. So what else can we get? Because R2 was in like what, both movies?
I think so. He put something Star Wars in the two Star Trek movies he did. Mm-hmm. So what Star Trek thing is he going to slip in the background here that you got to find?
What's the little guy that's Scotty's friend?
I don't remember his name.
There's actually, he would fit in
with Star Trek. Yeah. Exactly. They took that same little alien and put him in the background.
Like they did with the prequels with the E.T.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were so small.
What if he's laying on the ground dead?
I feel like
it's going to be Star Wars... The fan service awakens. That's what this
is. Actually, I hope it's not.
Have you looked into it? I don't think it will be.
I'm okay if it's campy. Yeah. I'm
Ray
fine
Dahl
with it.
Dies. That's what it
yeah.
is.
Have you looked into any of the twin theories? The fact that
she was telling me a little bit about it.
They're talking about that Rey and Kylo Ren may both be Skywalker or Solo.
Yeah.
I've heard about that. Because they weren't necessarily raised together and that kind of thing.
Huh. Well, they may not have been. It looks like from the trailer. I mean, this is all just from trailers. But it looks like Rey really didn't even know Han Solo or anybody growing up either.
Mm-hmm.
So something may have happened if they are the Solo twins. Something happened when they were born that they did not get raised by Han or Leia.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other theory also is that Finn is Lando and Leia's son.
That's an out there theory, but it's a possibility. You never know.
But he could also be Han Solo's, because in the comics it's canon now that his wife was African American.
Did they ever explain that yet? Have they gotten that
from the comics? African American, because there was no Africa.
Well, you know what I mean.
I'm just saying. Listen here.
She was African-ish American.
I don't know that that's how that works.
How about a darker skinned human?
Exactly. She was darker skinned.
Well, Mace Windu's.
The theory of Mace Windu and the theory of Han's wife is Finn and Rey would both have been born after Return of the Jedi.
Right.
because of their ages, because if they're in the mid-20s, and this is 30 years after Jedi,
that's true.
Any of the main characters were not born during Jedi.
What about Lando?
I hope he's in the movie. They haven't shown him at all.
Lando?
He's not in this one. There is a good chance he'll be in the next two. But then again, that goes back to the cycle of Star Wars. He came in on the second movie and had a larger part in the third. Mm-hmm. So that looks like they may do that
maybe
again.
We'll see the Fett.
Yeah. Maybe. No. Yeah. In the trailer. Boba Fett's flag is in the trailer.
Well, if a Mandalorian symbol.
There's a Mandalorian flag hanging at some point. They're walking into the temple.
Boba Fett. Yeah. I'll tell you right now. It was only because of the extended universe that Boba Fett survived. I'm saying.
Well, they've all but confirmed that he is alive at this point.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like I said last time, there is a Boba Fett movie coming. But how do we know that it's the same Boba Fett?
We don't know who's on the
I don't think it's our Boba Fett.
It could be anybody under that mask.
How do you know it's not a prequel?
They need to move the timeline of that movie because eventually it's going to be Han Solo and Boba Fett like fighting in wheelchairs.
Well, also, that's another one. That Boba Fett is an unaltered clone. If the original Boba Fett is an unaltered clone, and by the time of Empire, when you meet him, he was born. He's probably in his mid-30s. At this point, he'd be in his 60s.
Right.
So it's like we may meet the son of Fett or something. Yeah,
Son of Fett. If they
follow, that would be a cool movie. If they follow any of like the Legends canon, I mean, then he's like half cyborg.
Well, yeah. But that's what I said. At this point, if you go the actual age, he's in his 60s or 70s, and either he's probably retired and someone else took up the mantle or something. It could be that Boba Fett is the mantle of the character.
Is he allowed to retire? Can he do
that? I don't know.
I mean, it's Boba Fett can be a legend.
I would think mercenaries get killed off. They don't retire.
But we've already proven they can't be killed, so I'm not sure. Like,
look what they do in 007.
Makes me wonder, can he have kids in the first place?
Yeah, you never know. Produce? Being a clone, you don't know if he can or not.
Yeah, it depends what the game is.
I don't want to ask
that. That gets into a different part of Star Wars mythology.
In the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you got to think, those clones were artificially aged. That was built into their genetic code. Boba Fett was totally unaltered. Yeah,
but he's right, the clones can reproduce, because we see in there's one episode where he...
Yeah,
a
family.
Yeah, half Twi'lek family.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like two or three kids.
Okay.
Yeah. And half Twi'leks happened.
But they didn't want you to know that. I don't think they wanted you to look. He said, you know what, I don't like this life, I'm going on somewhere
else. I still like the idea of the new Boba being a female.
Yeah, she likes the idea.
I'm cool with that.
I said, well, you didn't hear that. Did you hear our last episode?
What?
Our last episode when we were talking about the Boba Fett film coming up? Did you hear that at all?
No.
The idea that Paul Bateman from London put out this idea with Rebel Force Radio that just for the first 5 minutes of the Boba Fett film, because right now, a lot of people say that Boba Fett, you've lost a lot of mystery by knowing who's under the mask. Okay? That took away from the mystery of who is Boba Fett. So what you do is you have just a cantina. You have Boba Fett sitting there, then you just show that, and then it pans away as you see just feet walk in, hear a blaster, Boba Fett falls, someone walks by, picks up the helmet, and keeps on walking.
Interesting, yeah.
And now you have someone totally new, you have no idea who's under the mask.
And then you can kind of do if you want to do the female Thor kind of thing.
Exactly, you can do anything you want.
Boba Fett is at all until suddenly it's someone you already know.
If they wanted to be that much mystery of who Boba Fett is, and they could even, Hollywood would never allow them to do it, but you do the in the credits, a Boba Fett was played by Boba Fett.
I like it. Someone needs to legally change their name to Boba Fett.
Well, no, that way, this way, or it says Boba Fett played by unknown, then you have no idea who's under that mask.
They can't just put himself.
Huh?
They put as himself,
Boba Fett as himself.
But at this point, in order to care who's under that mask, it's a character they have to introduce you to in another movie.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it'll be like the whole, here's your secret identity, who are you?
I have no idea who this is.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, I got one more Star Wars news article before we close this out for today, guys. This one, Netflix has actually made an announcement with Star Wars Force Awakens.
Oh,
and
yes.
Dawn's going to like this one. Netflix is getting Star Wars The Force Awakens. I believe it was 6 months after it leaves theaters, or eight months after it leaves the theaters. Netflix Canada is getting The Force Awakens. Only Netflix Canada.
That's right.
Really?
What it is, it has to do with Disney's licensing agreements with the pay TVs. Right now, Disney has an exclusive license agreement with Starz. That when the movies go to pay TV in America, they have to go through Starz. So Star Wars The Force Awakens is going to go to Starz. All the other Star Wars movies will probably end up on there at the same time. But Netflix was able to actually get the rights to be able to put it in Canada. Now, I'm sure that all the movies, there's already the rumors out there that all the movies are coming to Netflix. They're going to eventually get there. But so after the run on Stars, it'll probably end up on Netflix also. But this was actually a big grab for Netflix. So that's why I put it in here. It's not a huge story, but I figured this, for Dawn, you'd enjoy this one because your own home country's getting it.
A lot of people don't know that there's actually a difference depending on which country you're in as to which shows you get, shows and movies you get on Netflix. There's a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. All over the world, they have different stuff. So and this was they said this was a huge grab for Netflix because Netflix right now is looking into... in the next year, they're expecting to launch Netflix in 200 more countries.
Wow.
So, by the end of 2016. Right now, they just got worldwide rights deals to show CW's Jane the Virgin, CBS's Zoo, and USA's upcoming dystopian drama Colony. So those are also coming to Netflix.
Awesome, I can't wait.
Actually, I've heard Zoo. I've not seen it, but I've heard some stories about Zoo that sound interesting. That's what I'm going to have to check out.
I saw a snow leopard at the zoo once, and I saw a turtle at the zoo.
The Akron Zoo is where I found out how loud a lion actually is when they're not roaring. Because this thing's like half to three quarters of the way back in the zoo. If you're at the front gate and he's just sitting there kind of meowing, you can hear him.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Impressive.
And when he roars, you're going to know it.
That's the James Patterson series, isn't
That.
So that's a reason not to watch it.
Yeah. Okay,
never
Never mind.
I'm not excited about that.
About which one?
Zoo.
I've heard some interesting things about it. I want to check it out and see it. But I believe that's all we have on the list for today. How about you guys? Did you have anything else on the list?
That covers it.
Okay, well...
This is why Ken has to edit, because he puts in delays.
That's right. I don't know. Okay. Well, first thing I want to thank Carrington and Jim for letting us be here at the Meeple. Like I said, Beasters, we'll let you know when we're coming back. We will definitely be doing more of these from the Meeple. Also, I want to thank everybody else for joining us. Cam and Vernon and Bart, thank you for the blogs and help. Thank you for being part of the team. And thank you for joining us today. Nate, thank you for joining us. You didn't have much to say today, but did you enjoy yourself?
Yes, I did. We'll talk sometime.
Okay.
Nate's actually into like a lot of classic gaming and that sort of thing. So we video games.
Oh, we got a lot of that.
So yeah, we have them on sometimes. So yeah.
Awesome. So as Andy just makes it in.
Now I gotta stretch this out.
So Andy's will be here just in time to say goodbye.
There he goes.
Walks away.
And let me go ahead while he's out there. I'll go ahead and do the sign off, and then we'll say hi.
He's a hop.
You guys all know Andy, so we don't have to worry about that. Well, thanks everybody for being here. Let's everybody remember to go to our website, check out the affiliates on the site, give them a little love. By you giving them a little love, they'll give us a little love. Also,
just a wee bit.
It's a good thing we don't.
Also, we are working on getting new T-shirts out. So we'll let you guys know as that comes.
It'll be after Oddmall, though.
Yeah, it'll be after Oddmall. Also, remember to check out the Patreon. There's plenty of great awards levels on Patreon. So, Beasters.
Yeah, please give, sign on, do something with Patreon, because we're not above, like, getting somebody like Sarah McLachlan to do, like, some video with us all in black and white looking... especially you. Yeah,
we'll be all sad and
like
everything.
We're beat behind the cages.
Yeah, exactly. Behind the cages. Like,
talk about her last night.
My microphone's all broken and stuff. In the arms of an angel. Yeah, you can hear it already. So please, give.
Okay, so Geeksters, you can find us at geekwatch1.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Satchel Player at geekwatch1. You can get us at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Kylan and Ken. You can also email us at kylanandken@gmail.com. Remember, if you email us, we'll probably read it on air. So you can also find us on the Tangent Bound and the Weeby Geeks networks. Go check them out. There's some awesome shows on both of those networks. So you guys, anything else real quick before we sign off?
No, all good.
Okay, so Miss Dawn, for Miss Vicky, for Kylan, for myself, and for all of our friends, remember...
No matter where you go... There you are.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.